I'm good. Tell me, where are you?
I'm currently at my brother's in Ohio. Finally, I'm here for until Sunday, so a whole week. And then heading to Indiana, and then Minnesota, and then North Dakota. So I'm almost home.
How many miles? Have you figured out how many miles you've driven since you left?
Like 30 some hundred.
Oh my goodness. Well, it's been a fun adventure at least.
Oh, it's been super fun. I'm just ready to sleep in my own bed. Yeah. So what have you been up to while I've been gone?
Well, we did that trip to New York. We went up to like Albany and Syracuse, and that was fun. But doing a vacation a week before we launched the planner was a horrible idea. I don't know how you're working on the road. Well, given I worked a few hours, but mostly I didn't work when we were in New York, and you've been stopping and working like every day. So that I think that was a bad idea because we were so busy that week I got home from New York for the launch of the planner. So
yeah, I think we would have probably been busy no matter what. I think that's just kind of the nature of, you know, launching a new product is no matter how much you prepare for it, you're still gonna be crazy busy right before it happens. So, but we have a planner live.
Oh my gosh, all that hard work. I mean, since we went to the bank and made ourselves a real company. Why is that my mark? Why, like, not registering our LLC, not the multiple meetings that we had beforehand, but when we went to the bank, that was when we actually started. But anyways, since then until June 1st when we launched, I feel like it was one really long sprint.
Yeah, it was a lot, but it feels so good to have it up.
Yeah, so. It does feel good. Yep.
Awesome. Well, do we want to get started talking to them a little bit about wellness?
Yes, yes. I'm so excited that you suggested this topic, because this topic is how we met.
It is. So yeah, when I first met Megan, she was giving a talk at an event about wellness, and it kind of totally changed how I looked at everything in work-life balance.
Yeah. Well, and we all know, well, maybe we don't all know, maybe I should go on my tiny little tirade about how balance is bullshit. Like, it's not a thing. Like, nobody lives this perfect life where they spend equal amount of hours on, you know, different parts of their life.
Right, for sure. Yeah, it definitely is something that we like make up. Like, let's make this work-life balance where we can turn everything off. And it's 2018. Like, you can't just turn off when you leave work anymore.
Right. And it's like your home life bleeds into your work life and your work life bleeds into your home life. It's just
right.
Like, what are we doing? The average American works more than 45 hours a week. Are we not living during that time? Right.
Right. For sure. Yeah. You have to be living. Like, I remember when I was buying my house, like, there was no way I couldn't talk to my mortgage broker, talk to my realtor while I was working because they work normal hour days too. So I had to be able to, you know, build that lifetime into my work time.
Yeah. Well, and as small business owners, like, there's no time where we don't work. It's just always a part of your day. I think just the whole idea of work-life balance is like setting you up for failure, because it's almost like this impossible teeter-totter where if you're crushing it at work, then your life has to suffer. And if you have a happy life, then you're not able to have a career or grow your business.
Right. And that's such a ridiculous thing. Like, you have to be able to be happy in both and enjoying your time while you're doing both. So right. I think, yeah, I totally agree that we need to stop like with this mindset of work-life balance and kind of build our lives into our work and our work into our lives. And of course there's time that you have to take off from working to reset and all that, but it doesn't mean completely turn everything off from work for a month and a half because you have to focus on life. It means take 2 days unplugged, take a week unplugged. Don't just turn off life or turn off work to live life and then turn off life to do work.
Yeah, I love the way you put that. And that's really how you live. And, you know, I think that's the, that's really, you just defined how you live your balance. But I think everybody has a different, you know, kind of balance, and every season of life is going to be different. Just like right now, you and I are building this business. And so we are spending a lot more time in on the business versus, you know, like, I'm not going out to dinner with my husband every night, you know, like, that's not happening. But and there's going to be seasons of life where, you know, think of people with small children, that's really their priority, that's where they're spending their time. So
right. And I definitely think you made a really good point there. Right now, we're at this point in our lives that work is our lives. Like, we, I mean, obviously we do other things and have fun with our friends and Megan with her husband, but most of the time when we're even doing those things, we're talking about work and what we can do in our businesses and how we can improve our businesses. And so we're at the season where work is our life, and that's fine. But you might be at the season where work isn't your life and you don't want it to be everything. And you don't have to talk about work when you go out to dinner with your friends, but just know that everybody is going to have a different balance. So if your friend does want to talk about work, just know that they want to talk about work for a little bit, and that's where they're at in their life.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So I think what I always, whenever I talk about wellness, I always talk about work-life balance. And then I always want to talk about, like, what if we just kind of change our paradigm and have a new perspective on that. So I'm really glad that we made that part of our discussion. The other thing that I always talk about is, and it's in our planner, and we really base that whole year of wellness that we've set up in the planner is really based around thinking about your wellness in four systems. And so those systems are your physical system, your mental and emotional system, your social system, and your spiritual system. So do you care if I just quickly walk through those?
Yeah, let's definitely go through those. I think it's important to note on what those all mean.
Yeah, so, and I like to kind of give an example of what that looks like in real life, because sometimes when we talk about these things, we talk about them in such like a theoretical way, and we lose like its practical application. So when I'm talking about your physical life, we are talking about, of course your body and like your health in that way, like how well is your body system working? But it's also where the results show up for the rest of your life. So that's the things in your physical life. So your car isn't your physical life. Your finances is your physical life, your energy levels, you know, your physical strength and nutrition, that's all physical. And I think that's the easiest kind of one to define. But it's the first one I think, Megan, and maybe you have the same experience, is the first place I see balance problems. I get sick difficult. Or I get a breakout.
Absolutely. For sure. Even, yeah, I mean, on this trip, I'm taking a 6-week trip, but as soon as I let my body, like if I go, as soon as I let my body rest, it jumps in and says like, you're getting sick, because I didn't take care of it during that time that I was going crazy. But as soon as I let it like do anything, I get sick.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's the same thing. I remember every time I would take, when I was in the military, every time I took leave, I would be sick for like the first 2 years. And it took me that long to just kind of figure out how to not be sick when I took vacation, took leave.
Right. Absolutely. And yeah. I think the important part of that is making sure you're taking care of yourself while you're not on vacation or while you're not taking those downtimes. You're still building in that time of wellness and taking care of your body and what's around you and what you're putting into your body.
Yeah. Okay, so great. So the second one is mental and emotional. We combine these two together because they're really hard to kind of separate out. And so that's really what you think it is. It's your thought patterns, your relationship with yourself, your emotional relationship with others, kind of thought patterns and emotional patterns, your emotional reaction to things. And I think this one is what I find people feel like they have the least control over.
Yeah, I think so, because I think people think like an emotional reaction is just something that happens, that they don't have control over how they react to situations. And I think it's really important. This is the hardest one, I think, for everybody, like you said. I think it's really important to figure out how to handle your emotions and how to, especially your thoughts on yourself, because I think that's probably the hardest one for people, is really managing those thoughts on, I am good enough, I can do this, and all of that, because we let those thoughts creep in of, I'm not good enough, I can't do that, why would they ask me to do that, and that. And those are things that we really need to learn to control so that you are living the best life that you can be.
Yeah, and that thoughts are things, and they have amazing power in your life if you let them. And I mean, even if you don't let them, they just have that power, I guess.
Right.
But I know this is a little off topic, Megan, but it's really hot right now, and it's been on my heart, and so I want to talk about it, especially when we're in this mental and emotional suicide awareness right now is really, really important. And so I think, and I know I've been personally touched by it. My husband's been personally touched by it. It's a difficult topic. And so when I have a discussion about your mental and emotional health, I think it's really important to say awareness of your health is really important, because sometimes we get so unwell mentally and emotionally that we don't know how to get help. So I guess I'm just sad by what's been going on, you know, and all the emotions that it brings up. But I just really wish we could help people, and I hope that we do help people find awareness and find their ability to really dig into their mental and emotional wellness, and at least see the red flags where they can reach out for help, and see it right, in others absolutely. Where we can reach out to others.
Absolutely. No, I'm so glad that you brought up this topic, because yeah, it is such a hard topic to talk about, and people don't want to talk about it, but I think it's so, so important to bring it up and talk about it and say, make sure you are checking in with yourself, checking in with your like emotional and mental state. And if you are seeing those red flags, reaching out to your friends, reaching out to your family, your therapist, if you have one, if you don't have one, get one. Just make sure that you are super, super high aware of your mental state and emotions. And hopefully by this, through this podcast and through our planner and through the tools that we're bringing you, you'll be able to reflect on those things and get the help that you need if you are in that point. But, and if you're not, just, you know, it's still important if you're, just for anybody, it's so important to know where you are emotionally.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks, Megan. Thanks for letting me detour. Yeah, I think the other part about mental and emotional wellness, everybody talks about emotional intelligence, and that's really part of this too. Like, being aware of your own shit is kind of the first step. So when I am like feeling crazy, my brain's going nuts, and you're having one of those completely out of body experience where you're like, why am I acting this way? My husband just said hello and I want to rip his throat out. You know, like being aware of your own shit in that way helps, I think, your whole life too. So anyway, absolutely. That's anything else you have on mental, emotional?
No, I think we just really covered it all. But like you said, like those mental or emotional intelligence and all of that is super important, because you have to know when you're being crazy. We all are crazy at some point. So you've got to be able to be like, oh, I need to turn that off and get back to like, why did I just freak out about this?
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard. It's hard.
We all have a little bit of crazy.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So, but that leads right into your social wellness. And like we said, when you're having a hard time, you have to have that social group that you can reach out to, and also that are like pinging you like, hey buddy, I'm noticing this going on with you. But we're humans are social creatures, and you need that kind of social interaction and connection to be well also.
For sure. This is the biggest one for me, is social. Like, everything in my life goes back to my friends, my family, being around those people. Mm-hmm. I mean, I started my businesses so that I could spend more time seeing my friends that are across the country and seeing my family. And I think those, because I'm able to do that, it builds into that mental and emotional part of my wellness as well. So I think that's really important that you just touched on that they're really interrelated, those two, that you have to have one to have the other be healthy, and you have to make sure that you're spending the time on both of those.
Yep, totally. And as like, I am an introvert, which is, I know, weird that I do what I do.
Hello, but I'm not.
Right? I mean, that's great that I can just like sit back and let Megan Logue do all the extroverty stuff. And but social connection for introverts is really important because we can often forget to take care of those relationships because it's so easy. We just kind of want to hide. So for me, I've always been a person that has very few but very deep connections with people. And that can look like antisocial. I remember a couple weeks ago, I forget what it was. I was on this group text and it was me and one of my best friends, Ben, and I think my husband was on there, and we were trying to plan to do something. And all three of us were like, well, you can come here, but I don't really feel like leaving my house. So like eventually it was like, so we're not going to do anything. Okay, thanks. Maybe next time.
That's so funny. Well, how do you, so being an introvert, because like, this is not a problem I have. Somebody tells me to go somewhere and I'm like, okay, I'm there. Even if I don't want to get out of bed, I'm like, I can't miss it. I have to go. Like, I have serious FOMO. So yes. I'm at everything. But being an introvert, Megan, how do you kind of manage that social aspect of your wellness then when you get to times that you're like, I really just don't want to drive to Denver. I don't want to get out of my house. I want to be in my pajamas. How, I don't want to see people. How do you make sure that you're taking care of that?
For one, I have like such a great partner in my husband, and he knows when I need stuff like that and he pushes me. So we just are really great at noticing what each other needs. So that partnership for me has really helped me stay well, because he's always like, no, why don't you just go see your friends? Can you please go?
Get out of my house. No, just totally kidding. I'm sure he's doing it out of love.
yeah. Well, probably most of the time, probably not all the time. But so I really lean on him to kind of be in all areas, but this one in particular to push me when I need to be pushed. But then oftentimes it's just like, for me, I have to ramp myself up for a social event. This sounds so terrible. When I go to give a talk or, you know, any kind of social event where I'm going to be mingling with people, I have to ramp myself up. And I have the same talk in my head that you do about a workout when you don't want to work out. You're like, you'll feel so much better afterwards. You'll be glad you did it. But for right now, like, you just have to put one foot in front of the other and get there. Yeah, that's me.
It's so funny you say that, because I would like, I mean, I know that you're an introvert, but when you come to events, it's not like you like shy away from talking to people. So I love that you put yourself out there fully. You're like, I got to have these relationships. I have to meet new people. Even like the very first time we met, Megan gave this speech in front of probably like 30 people in that room. And you didn't seem nervous. You didn't seem afraid to be up there. And I love that you just like go for it and put yourself out there even when you're uncomfortable.
Yeah. Well, I'm not new to speaking in front of groups. I've taught in front of large groups. And when I was in the IC, like being in front of people is something that I'm really used to. And I think I use a lot of techniques that we'll probably talk about later just to help get myself in the right place, in the right frame to be up there. So one of the things I use is called the circle of excellence. We'll talk about it another time, but it takes a lot of tools for me to get there, but right. Thank you for saying that, because that's the point, is to not look like the introverted nerd freak that I am.
But if you do, but even if you are that person that doesn't want to get up in front of people, know that and know what your strengths and weaknesses are, and don't worry about them. I mean, don't sit and like fret about your weaknesses.
Yeah, I totally believe in focusing on your strengths. But have you ever read StrengthsFinder 2.0?
No, but my mom has, and she recommends it all the time. She tells everybody to read this.
I have all of my clients do it. I think it's awesome. I think it's a huge insight. It helped me work not only better myself, but with other people. And my strength finder is like, I completely am a strengths builder. I focus completely on strengths instead of weaknesses.
It was super interesting. Yeah. So everybody check that out. We'll put it in the show notes. But I'm going to go check it out after this as well.
Cool. Okay. So, back to our very last, dimension of wellness that we talk about, and that's spiritual wellness. And this is where people get like kind of eye-rolly if they're not religious or faithful in a certain way. So I grabbed my book, which was my textbook for my life coaching certification, because I love the way she put it in there. And the way she described spiritual system is it's your true self, our personal development, and our connection with energy, God, higher power, higher self, collective unconscious, and your spiritual life. So I think that's just a really great kind of quick wrap up of what your spiritual life is. It's so much more than whatever faith you prescribe to.
Absolutely. Yeah, this was the hardest one for me too. I mean, because I am a Christian, but when Megan was like, you need to look at your spiritual life more, I was like, I'm fine. Like, I go to church, I read my Bible. But then the more and more I dug into this one, I was like, no, this is definitely the part of my wellness that I need to focus on and work on a lot more. And so I think if you're not religious, it's definitely probably one that you're like, you just put on the back burner, you don't think about at all. And so I think it's really, really important to look at what that means to you, no matter what religion you are or what beliefs you have.
Yeah. And I think oftentimes the question that I ask in with my clients when I'm trying to fetter this out with them is, do you feel like you're living congruently with your purpose? And so it's often growth and it's purpose and just feeling like you're in the groove, you're in the right place you're supposed to be, you know?
What an awesome way to put that. I would have never thought about it. Like, are you living and congruent with your purpose? Because everybody has a purpose in life and where they're supposed to be. And once you find it, you know you're there. Mm-hmm. That's like the coolest part. It's like, it's really hard to find like your purpose. Not really hard, but once you find it, it's like life just figures itself out for you. And it's so cool to see that happen in somebody.
Yes. And also flow. I love flow. Finding flow state, I think, is one way to see if you're like in your purpose, if how that's working. And flow is really spiritual for me. When I find it in meditation, or when I find flow, gosh, you and I find flow when we're working together. Like there is no time. We're just crushing projects and we're really in this amazing creative flow state. For me, that's part of my spiritual life, being able to be there.
Absolutely. Yeah. We definitely do that when we're working. We'll like go to Megan's house and sit down and work. And 10 hours later, we're like, oh shit, where did her day go? Like what just happened? Like it's dark outside. We're like four drinks in and we're like, oh, what happened to the day? I guess, we'll get back to this tomorrow. We should probably get some sleep, but it's so cool when you love what you do and you love where you're at in life. Like you just forget about the rest of the world and you just get shit done. And it's so cool.
I love it too. I love it too. So that's the four systems, or the four dimensions, I guess is what we're calling it.
So Megan, I have a question for you. I think one of the things I want to touch on is that, maybe it's not a question. One of the things I want to touch on though is our, how these look different for everybody and how like the percentages of how much time you're spending, energy you're spending on each of these systems looks for everybody. Could you kind of walk us through what it looks like for you and in terms of those four, and then I'll kind of give everybody an idea of what that looks like for me as well.
Oh, great. Great question. So for me, how does that balance? So when I talk about balance, I'm talking about time, energy, and resources all at once. So you may be spending more time in one. For example, if you're a personal trainer, you're spending a lot of time in the physical aspect of your life, right? You're focused on that. For me, that's probably my smallest piece. I don't enjoy it, but I struggle to make time with it. That's one of the things you've been such a great partner on, is help supporting me and getting my workouts in.
I try. So, this month's been rough, but...
I know. But I'm really quick to notice if anything's off. So I'm keen on that. I spend the least amount of time in my social wellness because I don't need that much. So really honestly, hanging out and seeing people once a month is good for me. So, but that's all I need. So if I was going to break it out into kind of a balance. Social is my smallest, but that's where it is. That's wellness for me, right? Like that's healthy right, absolutely. For me.
And I think that's what's really important to note here, everybody that's listening, is that it's not a 25, 25, 25, 25 piece of the puzzle here to put it all together. So you don't have to spend this, not everybody's pie, which if you get the planner, we'll talk a little bit about how this breaks down into the pieces for you, but not everybody's looks the same. Everybody could have different percentages for each of these different things. So sorry to interrupt you, Megan, but I think it's really important to note that everyone's is going to look different.
Yeah, no, thanks. You got to where I was trying to go and I couldn't.
Sorry, I didn't find the word.
You're perfect. Thank you.
For you, but.
No, you're perfect. That's exactly right. So social is probably my smallest, and then physical, mental, emotional, just because I'm such a brooder. I think about that, and I mean, that's my kind of my job, right?
Absolutely.
And it's probably the largest, and then spiritual second. So that's really my balance right now, but that's not to say it's going to be that forever. And it hasn't always been this.
So that's really interesting. You point that out, that it can change over time. So is it like life events that make it change, or really just it can just gradually change over time? The percentage.
I think it goes with your values and priorities. So when I'm looking at wellness and creating balance for a client, one of the, it's intertwined with their values and priorities. If your values are, just like you really value social connection, Megan. And so you make it a priority. I mean, you decide to live in your truck for 6 weeks and trample across the nation because the social connections in your life are so important that's what you do. So it's values and priorities, right? So everybody has a different value system, and that creates different priorities in your life. So for you, just as we talked about it, your social connections are so important, and that's clearly a value that you have. I would guess that it's in your top five values is just friendship and loyalty in that way.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think it's probably even maybe top three.
So because of that, you got in your truck, decided to build a bed in the back of the bed, get your dog, and traipse across the country for 6 weeks, is it?
Yeah, it's like ends up being like 5.5 weeks from the day I left until when I get back so soon, y'all. But until the day I get back.
Yeah, but it was so important to you that you see and make these connections that you changed your life to do so. So to answer your question, how people determine that is really based on their values. That's if it's intentionally, right? A lot of times we're not doing it intentionally.
Right. So do you recommend that people, when they're trying to figure out this balance, do you recommend that they write down their top five values and they go through kind of what that looks like to them, and then they kind of work on the balance from there? Because I think it's really important to see what are my values and what are the driving forces behind the way that I build my wellness?
Yes. Thank you. Yes, that's excellent. Yep, that's exactly right. Awesome. I think you have to know what you want in order to get there.
Right, absolutely. So yeah, like you said, mine definitely is social is my top. Like I would say 40 to 50% of my time is spent on those social interactions. There's probably one night a week I'm not seeing people. Like seeing
that's
friends,
exhausting.
Like not clients. Like there's probably one night a week that I'm not with a friend. Like Mondays I have plans with one friend. Thursdays I have a set plan with one friend. And then Friday, Saturdays, of course I'm seeing friends. So like Tuesday, Wednesdays are like my weird, like maybe I'll see people tonight, maybe not. So definitely social is my highest. And then physical is behind that. I really do love working out when I, you know, have the time. The biggest part for me with the physical is just making the time to meal plan, to making the time to get that workout in. I was doing this workout program that was hour-long workouts every day, and getting that workout in was so hard for me because I also value sleep. And so making the time for the sleep and the workout was so hard. But I would say, like, you know, that's like 25% of my wellness is making sure I get that in there. I can tell how worse off my weeks are the weeks that I don't get workouts in.
Yeah. And the sleep is the same thing for you too. Like I can tell when you're not sleeping.
Oh guys. Yeah. Y'all. So I did not sleep at all from like Friday until yesterday at like midnight. I slept like 6 hours total. I was in New York all weekend. Y'all, if you live in New York,
how do you live? You don't, I don't understand. It doesn't make sense. How do you go to work every day and function? But I did not sleep. So I was like real grumpy yesterday. And Megan was like, just go nap. We'll talk later.
Stand back.
That plays in that physical. Like, sleep is part of that. Like, you got to be well rested. So physical is for sure my second. And then I think mental is after that. Just taking the time to make sure I'm checking in with myself and all of that. It's definitely important. And then spiritual. But that spiritual piece of my pie has been growing and growing over the last couple years, because I'm realizing I do need to spend more time on that. Back in college, I was probably spending very, very little time on it. But the older I get and the more that you said my values are changing, the larger that piece of the pie is growing.
Yeah, I think that's pretty typical.
So, well, that's where I am on my balance. Definitely working on that spiritual part. I know that's where I need the most help in my balance right now. Where would you say, Megan, that you need to work the most on in your balance right now?
My physical wellness, for sure. For sure. Especially since leaving the military, like, man, you're working out 6 days a week, and I was running miles and miles and miles a week. And, I didn't love it then. So I spent a huge amount of time on my physical wellness. But you know, what's funny about it is, I spent a lot of time being able to run faster, do more pushups. But I was getting really sick at the same time because you were beating yourself up.
So it was too much of that part.
Yes. I broke both my hips. Like, it was just, yeah. I destroyed my body. So I think now, even though like I put on some LBs, I'm healthier overall than I was. So I think just because you're spending more time on a system doesn't mean you're doing it in a healthy way, right? Wellness means that I'm doing it in a way that benefits the outcomes I want, the goals that I have, and the people in my life, right? So if I'm spending so much time, money, and resources on going to the gym and getting fit that I never took care of or saw my husband in that relationship, I put us in a bad way financially, like, that's not healthy either, right?
That's such a good point, because you can't be 100% at all four of them, because then you're at 400% and that's not possible. So
good.
Like, you have to have a little piece of each of these. So you can't be at 0, 0, 0, 100. Like, that's right. Not, you're going to be unhealthy. You're going to be either sick, or you're not going to have any friends or family. You have to make sure that you're taking care of all four pieces. It doesn't have to be the same percentage of all four pieces, but they at least have to have some percentage of each section in your life.
Yep, precisely.
Awesome. Well, do you have anything else to let everybody know about balance, Megan?
Well, I think the last thing that I always, last thing I have is something that I always talk to everybody about. And that is, what do you do when you're out of balance? Okay, like, I can imagine somebody listening to this podcast being like, okay, great. Now I realize that my shit's wrong. Like, I'm out of balance. Like, how do I get there? How do I get from out of balance? We talked about recognizing when you're out of balance. But relearning balance, just because oftentimes we've lived out of balance for so long, especially like when I left my career, I was super burnt out, and I for so long had just focused on my work that I had to relearn kind of this spiritual balance and all that stuff. So I think step one is really getting aware and just living in your current state with heightened awareness for a short period of time so you get really clear.
So before you move on, how do you recommend people get aware? If they're recognizing like something feels weird, how do you recommend they start analyzing what feels weird and off?
Well, get a life coach.
For real though.
Just kidding. But no, I do walk the clients through this, and basically what I do is I ask them to journal. We've talked about it in the past. Journaling is so important, and it's not like Dear Diary. It's collecting data on what's happening in your day, what you're eating, how much you're sleeping, how you're feeling mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and physically each day. And if you kind of collect that data, even if it's in your planner or in a journal for, gosh, a week, 2 weeks, you're going to have some good information. And then just trying to you know, at the end of each day, review your day. How did it go? What did you spend your time on?
I think that's, yeah, that's a really good way to do that. Go back each day and say, okay, I felt way better today. What did I do differently than I felt yesterday when I felt crappy? So yeah. if you realize that, okay, so I'm way out of balance in my physical, say, I need to add more in there. Do you recommend people do that slowly? Like they just, if they know that they need to get up to like 30% in their physical in the pie and they're at 5, do you recommend slowly adding like 5 minutes onto a workout or meal planning for one meal of the day rather than the whole week, rather than going all in? Because I think that could be really overwhelming for somebody too, just to totally change how they're living their life.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right. You need to make small incremental changes that you can do consistently, because consistency is key. And that's how you create long-term change.
So important.
So then I think, do you have any, time blocking also. So if you're trying to create that specific amount, you're like, I need for my wellness to spend 30 minutes in prayer every day or an hour working out 3 days a week. If you're using a time blocking system, write it in there. You've got an appointment and then you can keep it.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's one way to keep your.
Yeah. And I think we'll talk a little bit more about time blocking here in the future in the next couple episodes, just to kind of tell you how to do that better, how to really make sure that you're blocking out the days to be the most successful.
Cool. Well, you're staying put for a week.
Yes, I'm here until Sunday, so still crazy, though. When I'm in Ohio, I don't get very much done because my family's all here, so it's like, go see this family member, go see this high school friend, go see this person, so it'll still be a pretty crazy week, but hopefully a little less crazy.
Well, good. Well, I'm excited to have you home, and I will make room for social time when you get here.
Thanks, I appreciate it. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We totally appreciate y'all. If you could go like, subscribe, and rate us on whatever platform you're listening to the podcast. Also, send us a little note and let us know you're listening. We want to know your feedback and your thoughts on the podcast and how we can help you in the future and different topics you want to hear about.
And make sure to check out our Facebook page, Handwritten Paper Co., Instagram, Pinterest, Twitter, all the things, because I spend a lot of time making beautiful content for you. Well, Megan makes it beautiful and I just put it up there. So anyways, we love you guys. Thanks so much. And we will talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Bye.
Our 2019 planner is now available at handwrittenpaperco.com. Head over there, check it out, and let us know if you have any questions.